Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins,
Ghost,
Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
I'm Steve.
And Andy's turning.
Streaming Things. Our coverage of The Last of Us TV show on HBO Max continues, this time with episode 2, Infected. This episode was directed by Neil Druckmann, co-creator of the original video game. So that's pretty nice. That's
very cool. This episode is also infected with Andy. He's back.
Hi, friends.
That's right. I forgot he wasn't here for the first Last of Us episode.
Damn.
The trio, the trifecta, the trifected
the
is
Holy
here.
Trinity is
the
here.
Trifecta.
That's right. So this episode, what we do, if you've never listened to the show before, we do digress like that quite a lot. But other than that, we have a structure. We'll talk about the episode, overall thoughts, what we thought about the episode without spoilers. Then we'll dive into a deep recap scene by scene of every single thing that we talked about or saw on the screen. And we just finished watching the episode. That's the shtick here. We will then go into our favorite Fireflies, our top three favorite moments from the episode, counting down from 3 to 1 each. And then a little segment we call Bullets and Pills.
Pills, baby!
Where we try to find things that alluded directly to the game, maybe some clever little things you might not have noticed. Sometimes it's very overt because this is actually a very faithful adaptation, but that's the segment there. And then we'll cap it all off with our Outbreak performance, our favorite performance of the episode. Get awarded.
It? It's like breakout performance, but outbreak.
Explain it to the stupid people, Steve.
I just did.
Okay. So that's the deal. We're going to run right through it. Please take a moment, rate and review the show where you're listening to it. You can follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod. If you like the show and you're able to support us financially, that's awesome. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers and get different bonus rewards for doing so. And we would love if you did that, but if you can't, totally understandable. You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com, and that's the tea, baby.
Your listenership is enough for us.
I want to say, last week we didn't talk about, you know, we record as soon as we're done watching the episode, so anything that you hear doesn't have the benefit of other people on the internet or Reddit or things like that,
research.
It's all just our dumb brains.
Yeah.
So we miss a lot of things. Like,
so we just watched it. We turned it off. We closed the HBO Max app and we came in here and turned these cameras on.
That's right, baby. Oh, Andy went to pee, I think. But other than that, we came straight in here. And I think, you know, for instance, a couple of people wrote in or DM'd me on Instagram and said, like, we missed the clicker that was on the rooftop at the end of the episode, which Andy, had he been here, he caught it. Would have been on the show. And then something else that we missed. Oh, when Ellie is discovered, like she's getting tested by Lee, the Fedra officer at the end, there's an audio snippet that's from the game for when somebody sees you. You know, it's
the,
like
the listening noise. Yeah, that. Whoa.
So I,
that's cool.
I didn't catch that either in the actual first run through.
That's the enjoyable part of a segment like Pills, baby, is that you can write in and let us know if we miss any of these things.
Absolutely.
So we can talk about them later.
I was kind of treating it like a song of errors and corrections, you know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody guessed the big reveal, the big source of the outbreak of the cordyceps fungus all over the internet. I saw tons of TikTok videos about how Jakarta, Indonesia, which was alluded to in the first episode where the unrest began, is the global seat for flour production and mills. And so maybe there was some kind of bread involvement with the cordyceps virus. That seems to be true.
Carbs will kill you.
Because they talked about a flour. That's true. That's why Joel was on the Atkins diet in the first episode. But the reference to the cake, the pancakes, the biscuits, the oatmeal raisin cookies. By the way, Steve, my hat's off to you. I owe you an apology. You were right.
Hashtag
never
Steve was right.
Eat oatmeal raisin cookies.
Nope.
You will turn into a zombie-like creature and kill your whole family.
Yep. That's. I mean, that's just science.
Steve, you don't like oatmeal raisin cookies?
Andy wasn't here. Oatmeal raisin is the new Heath bar. And now
So here's the thing.
I'm team oatmeal raisin.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. The argument, this, you guys are taking my words out of context. The argument was not oatmeal raisin cookies are bad. It was like, if you have the option of a chocolate chip cookie or an oatmeal raisin cookie,
oatmeal raisin,
you go for the chocolate chip
cookie. So you're saying 100 out of 100 times you take the chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
Betwixt those two.
Yeah.
Even if it's 100 days in a row on day 99, you don't want to switch it up and grab an oatmeal raisin.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just strongly.
I'm not a big just regular chocolate chip cookie guy, so I would take the oatmeal raisin about 80 out of that 100.
Honestly, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a fucking Keebler frosted oatmeal cookie. Have you had one of those, Steve?
No. Because I also like good cookies and not Keebler cookies. Got him, Andy.
I see what he did there.
I mean, we're,
but what if it's like white chip macadamia? I mean, you're always
I was evangelizing the white chip macadamia last week. Yeah,
he
I was
did.
Evangelizing that.
As long as we're all on the same page there.
Cool. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yep.
I'm with you. But not all so cookies.
We'd all be infected.
Yes. I just ate two slices of cake.
it's kind of funny that
and
we
Dots pretzels.
It's kind of funny. We have two cakes, full cakes. A strawberry cake
and Steve's
then
like a regular one.
I'm all kicked up
on a Sunday.
And it was just funny that the three of us are sitting on the couch, like housing these little cakes that we have. And then they're like, ah, the flour is where the fungus comes from and makes everyone a zombie. And we're like, checks out.
Then I start
see you on the other side, brothers.
Then I started clicking and bit Andy.
Yeah, it's a whole
on
thing,
his inner thigh.
He's bleeding.
Anyhoozle. So let's talk about our overall thoughts about episode two. Steve, take it away. What did you think? The follow up, the sophomore episode.
This was a really good continuation. I really, really enjoyed, you know, last week I kind of talked about how strange it was to watch the show that was being so faithful to a game. So it's like, oh, I know exactly what's happening. And they're lifting everything almost shot for shot from the game in certain sections.
Yeah.
But then others are changing things. And I really liked the changes that they made this episode. I thought a lot of them was really, really cool. I know last week we briefly talked about how I was not sold on the tendrils.
Yes. Yet.
And they did something in this episode that really kind of like, okay, I like this. I do like this. And that was the idea of, you know, one little tendril, if you touch
like
it,
the hive mind.
It has the hive mics. And then there's that shot where they're all kind of like laying down on the ground and they realize someone's over there and they all like get up and quit laying down in their little
moss
orgy and leave. That was a cool.
I'll be back to you later.
I'll be back. And, yeah, so I'm coming around on, I still am not super into like tendrils of the mouth, Cthulhu monster style. I don't like that visual, but I'm coming around to it overall. But this episode was good. I love the characterization beats that they did with Joel and Ellie. it seems like it's going to be a thing where each episode is going to open up with some type of flashback, which I kind of like that, if that's what they continue to keep doing. But overall,
I bet they do.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I bet Left Behind, like, because Riley was cast as Storm Reed.
That's right? The name of episode 7.
Is Left Behind?
Yeah.
Hmm. You think it's going to be a bottle? Is it going to be Lost Sister on 7 all over again?
Maybe.
But that episode's going to rock, though.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they keep doing that, I really like the structure of that show because that'll open up a lot of context for the events of the show, but also it'll kind of open up the world and make it larger because you can see cooler things that we didn't get in the games. Like this week was the Jakarta sequence, and
yeah,
I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Overall, great.
Andy, what'd you think of episode 2, Infected?
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Like, there isn't much that I could point at to say that I didn't like it. I thought the performances were great. We got more Ellie this time. We only got a tiny bit of her in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Joel crushed it. So Pedro Pascal is embodying that character. I wasn't sold yet on Ellie just because, I mean, I like the actress. I just didn't get to see much of her. So I got to see a lot more of it this time. Crushes it. Like 100% perfect casting. I'm super happy with it.
Are you the same way where, like, I feel myself whenever Pedro Pascal's walking around in the show, I don't see it as Pedro Pascal.
Not at all.
Oh, there's Joel.
Yes.
He's like, it's so weird how much he embodies that character perfectly.
He really does embody that character. He's incredible. And Anna Torv as Tess as well. At first I was like, oh my God, it's that chick from Mindhunter. But other than that, I was like, this is Tess. The only tiny complaints I could have are like sometimes like the outdoor shots looked a little green screen, a little effecty. Like you could see the budget a little bit, but it was mostly gorgeous. So, I mean, no complaints really.
About
the episode was fantastic.
I agree. I'm fully invested. I think they're knocking it out of the park. It's interesting, the tendrils in the mouth. There's a moment at the very end that I'm sure we'll get to that I really feel like you either love it or you hate it, but I thought the tendrils came to play in a very terrifying way, directly from the mouth.
Sold me on the tendrils.
Same.
It's like, okay, yep, I'm good.
It's interesting, too. I read a couple things I want to say. So the episode I loved, and I'm really excited. I saw one critic say that episode 3 is the best episode of television he's ever seen in his life. I think having played the game, I know what it is that's going to go down in that episode. So I'm extremely excited to know like that one of my favorite characters from the game has been done very well in the show. But I haven't been, I like Tess, you know, Anna Torv is great. I went home and thought about a lot of stuff all week though. And I was thinking, and I was actually defending the show against these criticisms online. And I started to think a lot about it, like friendly wise, that's how I roll. Just so you know, I know you're used to fandoms online. But I started thinking they might have a point in some ways, like about Tess as a character being kind of neutered, in a way that I'm not sure I really like. And I don't know why they would have done that way because Tess is ice cold in the game.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And for instance, when they got rid of Robert, early, that's fine. The way that they come out and everybody's just dead already. I get that. You don't have to play the game. So you don't need to play through that scene. But what sucked about it was that you don't get to see Tess just walk up and shoot him in the head unceremoniously and really characterize her that way. And there was a couple moments where they kind of on Joel.
She's almost like her own little crime boss in the game.
Yes. Yeah. And they kind of, you know, a lot of the criticisms I was reading were to the effect of, hey, that it's really lame how they have her lean on Joel physically so much. Like, oh, I want you to go hurt him, or they're really scared of you and blah. And that didn't bother me so much initially because it felt like Joel was just her like guard dog,
her muscle
on a leash that she could let off whenever she wanted. And that's kind of true to the game.
Yeah.
But just a couple little things that I think they could have done to show you that Tess will fucking kill you. So, and not even lose sleep about it. And that's a part of her character.
Are these criticisms based on people that have seen the whole series?
No, this is just people talking about episode 1.
Okay.
And their initial reactions to each character.
Well, if Steve's idea of like flashbacks for every episode, if that proves true, we might get a shit ton more of her.
True.
And so obviously we're not going to get the scene that you were just talking about where shooting the dude in the head because that already happened.
But yeah,
there's a lot that we could still see.
Yeah, I wonder how much of like stuff that you learn about these characters in the second game they're going to show as flashbacks in this first season. Mm-hmm. I imagine some of it. Very interesting. I also read, Steve, that because Steve was really iffy on the no spores in the first episode. Would you say that that represents you accurately since Andy wasn't here?
Yeah.
I've read Craig Mazin say that it's not out of the question that spores could crop up in the second season.
Oh, yeah, because I'm in the second game. The spores,
and that's when like they become a really important plot device, right?
Much more important than, say, in the first game.
Yeah.
Because you were saying in the first game, they just show up like, oh, we've got to put our masks on.
Yeah.
And that's really the only narrative, you know, point they make in the game. But in the second game, there are like one or two instances where it does make, they're more important and more threatening.
And it made me feel like they were thinking about that. Like, maybe we should bring the spores, you know, maybe it gets worse. So interesting stuff. I just thought I wanted to start out with all that. So anyway, yeah, we all love the episode. We're all fully on board. So the episode opens in Jakarta, Indonesia. And the only reason I knew Jakarta was in Indonesia is because I'm a huge fan of the movie The Raid.
And you watched the first episode when Sarah said it was there?
Yeah, but before that, I knew it was in Indonesia because of a big fan of the Indonesian film The Raid, directed by Gareth Evans, which takes place in Jakarta. But anyhoozle, this flashback in Jakarta, the police or military, I couldn't tell, show up to a restaurant and they commandeer the day of a woman named Ibu Ratna. And she turns out to be a professor of mycology. So we get a scene where she's in the car, kind of wondering what she's done wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the government's like in Indonesia, but I assume it's the kind of place based on the show where you can just grab somebody from a restaurant and they just kind of have to go with you. Or maybe she's a very subservient woman. I don't know. Very chill. Like, oh, we're going over here. I was done eating anyway.
She must be well known in the area because the soldiers were like, hello, server. Yeah. We're looking for Ibu Ratna.
Yeah.
She's in the corner.
Professor of mycology? Yeah, she's over there. Oh, yeah. She ordered a lot of mushrooms, which
she's
you could expect.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. It could just be her watering hole.
She was eating salad, which I thought was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm. Not bread, you mean?
Given that
is a nice touch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they take her in essentially to examine a specimen of fungi. Fungus?
Ophiocordyceps.
A specimen of fungus? I don't know if it's singular or plural there.
A specimen, singular, right? So
of fungus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. She notices something.
Majors here.
She notices something cool that the cordyceps was like primed. I didn't catch with what, but it's like some kind of alcohol or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, why did you do that? And he says, because that's what you do for samples taken from human specimens. And she said, yeah, but cordyceps can't survive in humans. And then they're like, look at this.
That's what you think.
Come look at this shit. So
you want to see a dead body?
Yeah. So it becomes Stand By Me. She examines the body. It has a bite mark on its ankle, a little fungus underneath. And then she pokes around in the mouth as you do and finds those tendrils that Steve loves. And she backs up freaking out because her whole worldview has shifted. Like, mm-hmm. Fuck. She knows. She studied this her whole life. The only reason why humans aren't dead is because this cordyceps can't affect humans. And I don't know if you, was it in the show?
What, last week when the one guy kind of hinted at global warming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 94 degrees is their threshold. Yeah. But if the world were to ever rise in heat, then we would have an issue. So that appears to be happening. And anyway, they find out a flour and grain factory had been hit first. A lot of the employees, this woman worked there, the woman of the body that they examined. She bit several people. They ended up executing all the people she bit, including her. But they don't know who bit her. And there's 14 other employees missing. And that's when you can see Professor Ratna's face fall completely. She's crushed. And he's like, we need you to help make a vaccine, do something. And she says, listen, very carefully. There is no vaccine. There's no cure. There never will be. We're fucked. I need to go home to my family and say bye-bye. And he's like, so what should we do?
The only cure you have is a bomb. Yeah. Bomb this whole city.
Which apparently they didn't
everyone
do.
Everyone in it.
They should have done that.
Well, you know.
It's tough. It's a tough call.
Yeah. I feel like a military saying, type's like, no, we're not going to fucking do that.
They needed an American there. Let's just be honest.
For real. Jesus Christ.
ahead of you, Ratna.
Just pull.
Hot damn.
Say less. Just pull an American general in there and then point at Jakarta and say, there's oil there.
Yeah.
And then blown up.
Done. Send Arnold Schwarzenegger in with a bunch of rescue grenades.
Rescue grenades for everyone. You'll get one.
Jakarta, you've been pushing too many pencils. Yeah. Ratna.
I hear you're a lot of fun guy here. I make that joke every episode.
Please fucking do, but in a different popular actor's accent. I want to hear Matthew McConaughey on episode 3.
Okay.
Study it up.
writing a note.
Hey, hey, hey. And then that's the end of that scene. That's the open there. So we cut to Ellie sleeping on a backpack as a pillow. We've all done that. We've all been there. And the environment looks so much like the game. It tickles me pink.
I love it because the shot opens up where it looks like she's taking a nap in a meadow. And then...
Yeah, it's like all peaceful.
The camera comes out and you realize like, no, she's in like a derelict building. Classroom or a building. And there just happens to be a hole in the ceiling. And then there's just... you know, plant life growing in the where the sun hits, and she just happens to be like nestled in that plant life bed.
Algae, perhaps grass.
Maybe, definitely some grass and
definitely
flowers.
Definitely not fungi.
No.
Because that would be
could
an issue.
Be, though.
Now for her, yes.
Now that they've established that like the cordyceps can be kind of anywhere, I'd be staying away from any plant life.
Well, she'd be laying on it and they would all be getting eaten. Yeah. So it can't be fungi. Can't be cordyceps.
Okay.
But yeah, Joel and Tess, with the camera kind of pans over and we see that Joel and Tess have been standing guard all night waiting for her to turn. Because when we last left Ellie, they just found out she was infected.
Right.
And she keeps saying in this scene, I'm not infected. She is, but she's not immune. Susceptible to turning.
Right.
Right. Which is funny. I wonder if Ellie bit somebody, she would infect them, right? She's a carrier, but not.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
She's an asymptomatic carrier, right?
But it's dormant in her. It's not like alive.
Sure.
It's just inner.
What if she like burped and like a tendril was like, oh, she's like, oh, excuse me. Hello.
Just give us a hat. Oh, hello, I'm shy.
And you know, she keeps saying she needs to go pee and Joel wants to shoot her. He's a survivor. It's the safe option. He doesn't know it. I don't know anything about none of this cure shit. I don't jibe with your science.
I'm from Texas.
I got a bullet with Ellie's name on it right here. And then she showed her one and it didn't say it. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's a metaphor.
Don't take me too literal.
None of that happened. Finally, he lets her go use the bathroom. And while they're gone, they start talking about her. That's when he says, Tess, I think we should kill her. I know I made that clear, but just in case it's vague at all. Stop, I want to shoot her in the face.
Stop talking about the kid like she has some sort of life in front of her.
I love the moment where she goes into the other room and she said, is there anything bad back here? And Joel said, just you.
ha ha ha. Very funny.
Love their banter.
I love the little barbs they have throwing at each other.
And you're right. That was a great line. And then they start to eat food and they offer her some and she's like, no, I got some. And they have like a shitty little piece of beef jerky.
Yeah, like fucking hardtack.
And she's got like a fire ass chicken sandwich.
She's pulling out a double down burger from KFC. She's having such a good time.
A smart ass about everything. She's like, Marlene got this from some smuggler or something. Guess it wasn't you guys. and she doesn't offer him
a
bite.
You ain't got no chicken.
And then Tess says, and this is more of the Tess that I know, Joel and I aren't good people. We're not doing this to help you. We're doing this to help ourselves. So I thought that was a rein and Ellie back in, right? But then ultimately they agree to keep her. And she asks for a gun and they say no. She said, all right, I'll just throw a fucking sandwich at him, I guess.
And she admits that there's doctors out west working on a vaccine. And that's why she needs to be taken out there. And
that's the thing. She was not supposed to tell anybody.
I love the staging of that scene, too, because, you know, Ellie is telling them her story and the way they frame it. Because Joel the whole time's like, we've heard this song and dance before. Like, yeah. I don't believe it. Let's just kill her. But then the whole time it's shot, Ellie's in the rays of light are shining down on Ellie, and Joel on the opposite side of the room is in the shadowed room. So it's like this very visual, pretty on the nose visual of like, you know, she is the future and Joel is stuck in the past and he's dark. She's light. I love that.
Very good. Very good eye, Steve. Good eye, Mike.
Did you say the sandwich line? I blacked out. Damn. It's so good.
Yeah. I guess I'll just throw a sandwich at him. and they go outside. We see an awesome reveal.
Starts mimicking a clicker at one point.
Pretending to turn to fuck with Joel.
She even twitches.
She goes,
and I love, it's such a good characterization of like, she's not scared of him or anybody. Cause he's like, if she so much as twitches, I'll shoot her. And she immediately is like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And
but Tess also like, she's
like,
a kid.
To Tess is like, do not.
Yeah, no,
that is not a good idea.
He almost shot you.
He will kill you.
Yeah. What if he had just went, phew. You know, she's a kid, so she's trivializing the whole situation. She's coping in her own way. But also, Ellie, as a character, for those who haven't played the game, is very brave. Like, also, will fuck it. Like, she's not all there, you know, which is why we love Ellie. Like,
she's precocious because she's hurt a child, you. But she will throw a brick in your face and stab you with her switchblade.
She will. So outside, they see a bomb crater, which I don't think was in the game at all, like, which it was really neat. Like, they seem to have, Craig seemed to have thought about, like, what the government's response would have been.
They talk about bombing the city.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's why the buildings are leaning.
I just thought, like, over time, you know, rust.
It's because of the bombing.
No general upkeep. Bombing, huh?
Well, it would take 125 years for those buildings to do that. I've seen Earth Without People. Remember that documentary?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it only takes like 100 years for there to be like no trace of humanity at all.
No, it takes like 120 years for skyscrapers to start falling.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not what my biology teacher in high school told me. That motherfucker had to have been smart to get that job.
Well, maybe your biology teacher was right and maybe planet Earth was wrong.
She said high school. I was like, fuck, man. Now that I'm old and I know, like, I'm older than a lot of my teachers were when they were teaching me.
They were just
me,
saying whatever. Like, shit, they were man. Just saying whatever.
They didn't know shit.
Hall pass, sure. You're going to, who cares?
did you go to the same school as Ellie?
Basically. Not a very good school.
Not a very good school.
No, that teacher was cool. It was a field bio teacher. Remember Mr.
Oh, yeah.
I had a drug problem, as most of my listeners know, but all the way back in high school even. And he was the kind of teacher that would, like,
sell them to you.
Yeah, he was awesome. No, he would like pull me aside. I remember one time I was like sniffling because and he could tell I'd been snorting stuff. He was like, you doing coke? And I was like, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, because he was cool like that. You could just tell he wasn't gonna like do anything about it. And he's like, you shooting it? And I was like, what the fuck? You know, I was like 16, you know.
Yeah.
I thought
that dude was a creep.
He probably was. I have no idea. But at that time in my life, at that juncture,
wait, hold on.
It was really nice not to be judged.
Okay, what was? He asked you, "Are you shooting it?"
Yeah.
What was the point of this conversation with him?
To like
the type of dude that he was.
Harm reduction, yeah, from his perspective was the point. To make sure that he knew, like, he knew he couldn't like tell me to stop or be that like admonishing elder, but he could see what I was into and make sure I was experimenting in a safe way.
Okay.
He also did very strange things.
The way you left that off was like,
he went to sweat lodges.
Use him between your toes.
So they decide there's the long way or the short way. And then somebody says, no, it's the long way or the we're fucking dead way. And then Ellie said, well, I guess the long way.
I'll go the wrong way.
Based on that limited information.
Yeah. So they start walking up the freeway because it's a 10-minute walk to the state house.
If it was unobstructed.
Yeah, if it was straight. But by the way, even straight, I don't think it's 10. It's more like a brisk walk, yeah, at 35.
It looked pretty far away.
But
35?
Fair enough.
That was definitely a 10, 15
minute walk.
It takes
like 30 minutes, like 20-something minutes to walk 1 mile.
That's not a mile away.
It definitely looked like a mile to me. It was very far.
Boy, I live in the city, all right? I know what these streets take to walk.
I've lived here my whole life. I've literally hardly ever gone anywhere else. We could just be different at assessing distance.
Maybe.
But from the rooftop after they got out of the museum, which they had already walked a long ways to, it looked really far away to me.
But they went the long way and then had to go back.
But the museum was the short way.
Yeah. Museum short way.
Yeah. Because they said we should have went this way to begin with. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to go wrong at all. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lose one of our party. Mm-hmm. Roll on. Which was a bad thing to say. It was bad juju. So anyway, while on there, I thought it was a cool part. Tess starts to compliment Ellie. Like, they start to kind of bond, you know, Tess and Ellie. And she's like, you know, you got some fucking balls on you, kid.
Mm-hmm. Going to that mall by yourself? Yeah. Wink.
Yeah. Because she asked a little bit of how she got the bite. And then, why did I write a note?
There's a really nice thing where she's like, Tess asks Ellie, is anyone going to come after you? Your parents, your mom, your dad, boyfriend? Yeah. And she's like, well, my parents are dead. And no.
Yeah. Which, if you've played the game, you know what that's alluding to. Super cool moment. And then we hear a clicker shriek way off in the distance. They start to pick up their pace. She's asking questions about what kind of monsters are out here. Like, hey, everybody
tells stories.
Yeah. Everybody says they're like hordes of them running around everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're like, sometimes they exaggerate.
And she asks, are there big ones that blow up in spores and shit?
Yeah. And they're like, no, definitely not. But then she asks about someone with their head split open that they're can blind. See in the dark or something like that. Yeah. And they kind of just look at each other. And this annoyed me because I'm like, why didn't they just give her really pertinent information about how to survive out here on the walk? Like, instead of just glancing at each other knowingly, you know, because, yeah, like, very shortly, like, she needs that info. And I'm like, yeah, You could have just told her back there.
Probably, I would think, defending them, she's a child. And it's like, yeah, it's super fucking scary and we're probably going to die. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
know, like, I think in this moment, I agree with Andy. Like, they don't need to go into it. But at one point when they're in the house later on in the episode, it's very clear they think they know what that is. They should be like, hey, so heads up. Yeah. Don't talk. Here's why.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
See, I'm thinking
roll on, whatever you say.
Roll Tide, like football.
It is. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Because he's from Texas, you know, which is close to Alabama. Right. ish.
Did you go to the QZ school?
I learned in high school. It's right by. it's picking this, but I actually feel like the opposite. Like in that moment in the house, Joel was panicking. Whereas, like, you know, I have a 9-year-old son. If I was walking around an apocalypse, I'd be like, all right, Mason, here's what we do. Mostly you don't talk. And they can't see you, but they can hear you. So that's why that's important. And probably we're going to die. Let's roll. Like, it'd be something quick, but I would say something.
You roll know? Time, Dad. I have to poo.
They get into a hotel. I love the way that this scene establishes, right? Like, the frog playing piano is one of my favorite things ever. Because it was like a creepy, awesome, discordant note. And then you found out it was a diegetic. Mm-hmm. And there was the actual frog playing the piano. Yeah. It's fucking cool, man. And then that's the Craig Mazin.
You just see some ducks living their best life.
just living their best life.
Ducklings.
Guess what? Don't care about us fun guys.
Floating around in sunglasses like, this is dope.
Da-da-da-da-da. Like they're going to rule the earth in another couple decades.
They know it.
We find out that Ellie cannot swim, and then Joel makes fun of her. Said, okay, that doesn't apply here, and here's why.
It's waist-deep water.
And she starts playing around like a kid, like Ellie does from the games, you know, pretending to check into the hotel, just, you know, having fun, using her imagination.
You're a weird kid.
You're a weird kid, which is a really good comeback. How'd you think of that? And then she finds a skeleton behind the desk, scares the shit out of her. Joel does come over, to his credit, to go help her, you know?
Yeah.
He's showing some of his good nature.
There's a really good moment where he does help her and then he kind of
catches himself.
You can really see he's kind of lingering on, like, interacting with a small young girl reminds me of my own small young girl that is dead.
Yeah. He's trying not to think of his daughter, Sarah. He's trying not to open his heart to that kind of pain ever again.
Yeah.
Right. But Ellie busting through that barrier. Mm-hmm. And then they end up going upstairs and they climb 10 floors and Tess is completely out of breath and complaining about it. And Ellie's like, it wasn't that bad. She says, you try climbing up 10 floors with our knees. And I like, because in the game, you really easily forget because Joel is so badass and so capable. He's like a superhero because it's a video game. Mm-hmm. The dude is 56 years old, you know? And like the show is not shy about reminding you of that. Whereas in the game, I totally never registered that at all at once. Yeah. But like my dad was pretty hearty and hale at 56 and like very strong. So I can believe that he's still so capable.
Yeah.
But it's also like, damn, he's 56.
10 flights is a lot to anybody.
Yeah. And I saw an interview with, it might have been with Mazin, but he said that they wanted to humanize Joel a bit more from the video game. So in the interview, they said that Joel is deaf in one ear in the show, but that hasn't come up yet so far.
Yeah, so like a gunshot or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something that he said in an interview, and it hasn't popped up yet. I don't know if maybe it's something that will happen to him or what. I don't know. But the way he said it was like, yeah, he's old, so he's deaf in an ear.
Yeah. I love the character. I mean, really think about it. Even if you haven't played the game, you look at how the world is outside. And Joel has survived for 19 years in that world. He went all the way from Texas to Boston, at least that we know of, right, at this point in the show, and survived. So he's got to be a capable person at the very least. We go upstairs 10 floors, and they see different doors locked. One of the ways is obstructed. When did that happen? Implying that they've been here before. This is part of the path that they take all the time to do whatever it is that they do.
It was their long way.
It's their long way.
And it has become an obstructed way.
Not long. Now it's extra long. Mm-hmm. Well, nigh impossible. And he boosts Tess up because she says Ellie can't go because if she dies, they get no battery for their car. And so her job is to go around and unlock the door. And while she's finagling that, doing next, oh, it's nasty up here. I got to clean this up, whatever she says. there's a moment alone with Joel and Ellie where they get to try to bond a little bit. Ellie's still put off by the fact that he wants to shoot her in the face. So she's pretty guarded.
Rightfully so.
But she does have curiosities, asking about his life. He refuses to answer most of it.
He was more he kind of initiates this conversation.
Yeah.
Because she starts playing with her switchblade.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool knife. Where'd you learn to do that?
That's not a knife. This is a knife. And he pulled out a Bowie knife. It was weird.
It was weird, yeah. He's like, call me Crocodile Dundee.
Joel D.
Joel D.
but then when she starts to ask him questions, he shuts off. He does tell her that he's from Texas. Tess is from Detroit.
Which is Michigan.
She doesn't know where Michigan is. Which is pretty funny.
I think that's cool, though. Like, it characterizes him maybe as underestimating Ellie and being a dick. But at the same time, it's like, this is how far removed from the world that we know,
right,
that this world is, where a little kid could easily not know what Michigan is, because there's no state lines anymore.
No.
None of that matters.
None of it.
Thanks for co-signing all that, Steve. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I've been initialing after everything you write.
So then eventually they're interrupted by Tess, who returns, opens the door behind Ellie. And before that, though, the part of the conversation that's cool, I think, or the most important to me, was when Ellie was asking Joel about, you know, have you ever killed a clicker? And he's like, I killed a bunch of them. Fuck more on count.
I'm a bad motherfucker.
And she's like, does it ever bother you that they used to be people? And he's like, sometimes, right? Sometimes. So I think there's a lot of depth to Joel that they're starting to hint at, and have been hinting at, but this is a big crack in his armor. Tess returns, opens a path. There's a horde of clickers down below because she looks concerned and says, hey, come here, look at this. And that's when she tells Ellie they're connected by those tentacles, those wires. And so you could step on a cordyceps patch a mile away, and then a whole horde will be notified of your location. They'll come for you, and you can be ripped apart even though you're immune to the fungus. Ellie's like, fair enough, is what her look says. So they decide they might as well go the short way now. They double back to go to the Bostonian Museum. They pull up there.
I like how she mentions that there's such a larger horde now because they assume it's because people are trying to get to the QZ.
Yeah.
Who maybe like be out in the wilderness, and they're just trying to get to the safe quarantine zone. And the numbers of the infected just continually grow just because this zone happens to be near them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also learn in this previous scene that some of the cordyceps infected only last a month or two. And
yeah,
some can last 20 years, which some been is pretty different from the games. They have a pretty set like
progression
of illness. Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting. And maybe he's talking about bloaters and stuff that we know about. Who knows?
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, times are tough. We just got through COVID, right? Everybody's been stuck in their homes for years. We're readdressing life itself. We don't know what's going on. We know that we need to get to the gym. I know I do. I know I need to eat healthy. I got to take vitamins. I got to take minerals. I got to go get a physical every 6 months or so. Sometimes I do it every 2 or 3 years just to see what'll happen. But I know that I need to do it. But it's easy to sweep mental health under the rug. It's the only illness that tells you that you don't have it. And it's really difficult to start looking into. You know, you got to drive. Where do you find a therapist? Is there a therapist store? I don't know of one, but there is an app called BetterHelp that'll help link you with a therapist to suit all of your needs. You can shop through hundreds, nay, thousands of different therapists and find one that helps you get through the day, that helps you address the problems that you're having. And if at any time you feel like they're not, you can easily switch therapists or stop at any time. Mental health has never been easier to access than it is with BetterHelp. Our own host, Steve, has been using it ever since we started being sponsored by BetterHelp, and he says that it has helped him immensely. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/streamingthings.
Anyhoozle, they double back, go to the museum. There's more backpacks. They pull out their flashlights and stuff. Got to do that before you go inside. Ellie again says that she wants a gun, and he again denies her. Like, I have a free hand. Good for you.
I thought she was making a jest because Tess does that really cool thing where she's holding her gun, but then also the flashlight at the same time. So the flashlight's aiming where the gun is, you know, like a professional.
Yeah.
And Ellie was just quipping like, you know, I can hold the flashlight for you if you want. Like, I thought that's what that was.
No, I took it like one of my hands doesn't have a gun like hers does.
I took it Chris's way too.
And
makes sense.
And he was like, I don't care.
I thought she was just trying to be very helpful.
I'll carry both flashlights.
I'll hold the light for you.
So then they go into the museum.
And then we did find out that the tendrils in the museum are bone dry.
Bone dry.
They're bone dry.
Yeah, that was an interesting way to find that out. Like he grabbed
it.
Yeah,
if it wasn't dry.
Okay, it's wet. We got to go now. That's
well,
my bad.
It was
bad.
All gray.
It's a wet noodle.
We're actually dead.
It looked like a dehydrated husk. It looked exactly how I looked like when we were doing Stranger Things season four. So
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So they find a fresh body. At first, they're pretty excited because all the bodies inside are burnt out. I don't know if it was like a Molotov cocktail reference, which would have been a game thing. But eventually, Ellie finds a freshie, a pretty recently mutilated
human, unburnt,
like Daenerys Targaryen. And then they freak out. They realize there's probably a clicker nearby. And they start panicking. Ellie's like, what's going on? They tell her to be quiet. In fact, don't be quiet, be silent. And the whole time he's pointing his AR-15 in her face and it was making me very uncomfortable. Yeah, you be quiet. Yeah, Ellie, stop. Don't talk.
Joel doesn't have good trigger discipline. All right.
I know. It's like as studied and veteran as he is, you would think he would know not to point the barrel of his rifle at the 14-year-old girl.
I don't think you necessarily have trigger discipline in the apocalypse though, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, she's infected.
I mean, it's all common sense. Once you handle guns, you know, you point the barrel at the ground, you keep your hand off the trigger, I guess. I've seen this in movies. I've learned.
We all know you are our local quartermaster who handles all weapons.
Yeah. The issue was that his flashlight was mounted to the gun and he wanted to like
look at her
for the show. Like use the flashlight in her face. Mm-hmm. So it's like, also the barrel's here. My bad. Anyhoozle, they should have had Tess do that. It just made me uncomfortable.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So they go upstairs.
For about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes so long for them to get up this flight of stairs.
Because they got
to
go silent.
It's great. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's just a long.
Well, it's like in the game staircase. When you crouch and you barely push the joystick to not alert the clickers, right?
You're going to listen mode.
Or she steps on a crunchy hand.
Yeah, I liked some of the the information you get when they're walking up the steps. Cause she's, like you said, she steps on a crunchy hand. Then there's that other body that has the cordyceps coming out of their heads.
So yeah.
Like
that was cool.
Ants. Yeah. It was really neat.
The environment was cool. I thought the tension of the scene was very high. Mm-hmm. And then when they get up there, the ceiling falls in as soon as they get through the door and Tess has to kind of dive in and knock Ellie over, which of course alerts all of the clickers that are in the building. I think there's two. Mm-hmm. Now there's two of them.
Now there are two of them.
Phantom Menace reference. Mm-hmm. And Joel honestly kind of drops the ball. I feel like he fires a couple shots into the belly of the clicker, which, you know, if you play the game, you restart that encounter immediately.
I do love the tension of them hiding from the clickers as they're kind of, the clickers are, you know, doing
loved
a little shambly walk across and they're on either side of them. And Joel's trying to shush Ellie and he's mouthing like, they can't see, but they can hear. Maybe I should have told you this downstairs or many times before this.
Yes.
But hey, just be really, really quiet. Oh, they're getting closer.
I should stop whispering.
I should stop whispering. Hey, can I get some of that chicken sandwich? Real quick. I'm hungry when I'm nervous. Open the wrapper very carefully, though.
What did you think of the clickers, guys?
Got any Chick-fil-A sauce?
I mean, this is the practical effects and the first time we've seen one.
Look amazing.
I was kind of disappointed at first. I was really? Like, oh no, that wasn't much. Well, they do a cool thing where, like, you only see a little bit of them for the first, like, I don't know, 2 minutes or so.
Out of focus.
Like, yeah, out of focus, just parts of their body, et cetera. And then, like, the first time, like, you really get the shot of one, I was like, oh, okay. But then there's very shortly after this, Joel kind of gets separated, and one, like, he turns a corner, and one's right in his face, and it was scary.
And he shines the light on him.
It was scary as shit. And I was like, okay, they did good.
Because in the game, the first time you see clickers, you die a bunch, typically if it's your first playthrough, because, you know, you're trying to figure out the fact that they echolocate. You know what I'm talking about? In that little, like, there's three of them, I think, in that little tunnel, and it's dark as shit. That's the spot in the game I stopped twice.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, fuck this.
Real spooky.
I'm not going to admit I'm scared. I just don't like this game. And
this game sucks.
So, I mean, I think the show, for anybody who's uninitiated, will have that same experience with this scene. And I think that even though Tess and Joel are so experienced in fighting these things, like, their actual real terror,
I'm terrified of them,
shows through, you know, and you see Ellie, all that cockiness is gone. It's a really, really well done scene. I was very happy with it. And I liked certain things that we'll talk about soon. But out of all of this, Tess ends up getting a twisted ankle. And Ellie got bit again, which is really funny.
Yeah,
and
I think love that they did that.
And she's like, well, if it was going to be any of us, it's in the same spot as the other bite, which I think took the place of the fact that Joel is convinced by the fact that she doesn't have to wear a gas mask. And that's why they had her get bit a second time.
Again, because there's no spores. And then you can directly compare her bite that happens at the same time as someone else's.
They know for a fact when the bite occurred and what it came from.
Right.
Which is interesting because you were wondering, like, I wonder how they're going to kind of do that, like, Joel's finally convinced maneuver without the spores. Mm. And I think this is our answer. They just have her get bit again. Hilarious. Outside, he...
Another one.
Yeah. Outside, he starts taping Tess's ankle up because she got a sprained ankle again. Ellie just takes it upon herself to walk across the plank.
Well, I love it when they're like, are you okay? And she's like, well, I didn't shit my pants.
Yeah. And then he's like, are you going to be okay on that plank? And she's like,
she just,
I mean, after that, those things, this is just wood.
Yeah.
And it's all very well done. But Tess loses her temper on Joel because he's a negative Nancy.
She's a little tired of shit. And she, you know, has a clock ticking.
Yes.
Now.
And but so also, like, he is a negative Nancy.
Yeah, but she's
shut
like,
up. You want to shoot the kid. I get it, bro. Oh,
we all want to shoot a kid, all right? But we can't today.
But so she's, like, now, like, immediately faced with her mortality. And, like, her world is ending. And so she's like, take the win. Or we... realize that we might be able to beat this thing, talking about the world at large.
She needs some kind of optimism.
She's
now.
She's like, yeah, she's about to die. She knows it's so good.
Now all she's thinking of is the fact that Ellie might be a cure for people like her. Probably not fast enough for her to benefit. Mm-hmm. But do you think some small part of her is thinking maybe, though, like if we get to the state house and there's fireflies there, maybe they can whip it up right then and there.
Maybe. I'm sure there's a tiny part.
You know what
of
I mean?
Her.
Like, that's why her panic, like, we got to go. Stop being a negative asshole, Joel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well done. They take in the view for a moment. And then once they make it to the state house, they can't see any fireflies outside. And my assumption is they never planned on going inside. They expected them to be just be waiting there. Mm-hmm. There is a truck there that's a firefly truck that they can surmise. Joel finds carnage in the truck, dead bodies outside, some blood trailing from the truck inside that Ellie notices. Because again, Tess was told to wait with Ellie outside in like the bush area, but she's impatient. So she comes running up like, what the fuck's going on? She bursts into the state house without any caution, and Dumbledore would have been extremely upset.
Mm-hmm. Should have used caution.
Definitely. And there's tons of dead bodies inside. Joel's like, they fought each other. One of them was infected. The sick ones fought the well ones, and everybody lost. Yeah. So then Joel, again, being Joel, all right, let's go home. Which is so funny that that's his plan. Like, you beat a guard that knows who you are to death or almost to death. I'm not sure.
To death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then it's safe.
Yeah, then it's fine. That guy's dead. Who's he going to tell?
Yeah,
Did he kill that guy?
Oh, 100% he killed that guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
He punched him a lot.
Even if he didn't kill that guy's dead in like an hour or so.
Yeah, that's true.
He got some fungus sticking out of him. He wants to go home.
It's over. It's over, Tess.
And she's like, it's definitely not. And eventually she's like, our luck had to run out sometime. And then Ellie says, she's infected. Fuck. And he says, show me. And then eventually, yeah, she shows him on her collarbone.
She's got a bite that's all fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Major bite. And then they compare it to Ellie's bite. And her, you know, they got them at the same time. And look at Ellie's compare. She's fucking real. This is real, Joel.
This is real life.
I've never asked you for anything ever. Do this for me. Keep her safe. Take her to Bill and Frank's house. They'll take her from there. You need to convince them. This is your chance.
Save who you can.
All the shit that we did, you can make up for it, right? Alluding to their past.
I also love that she, when Joel says we're going home, she says, that's not my fucking home.
Yeah.
That's like, again, like her coming to terms with like the world at large and being like, why the fuck am I in Boston? I'm from Detroit. I don't even want to be here. You know what I mean? And like, this is just the lot that life has dealt me.
I hate Boston. And, yeah. I don't even have Boston a car.
Sucks.
And if I did, I wouldn't park it here.
There's no good Dunkin' Donuts here. I'll tell you that much. Boyo.
Need some. Bill Burr, everybody. So then, you know, they, I think one of the infected pops up. That's what happened. Yes. Sorry, I stuttered so much.
Joel shoots the shit out of it.
But he hits the tendrils by shooting it, or he plucks their strings, damn it.
Yeah.
And a mile away, a big horde is in the middle of a moss orgy.
I love that shot of them all waking up for their moss orgy. Like,
we got places to go. Yeah, it's like,
I don't know. I did Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
There you go.
I don't think so, Tim.
But I do like, we talked about this last week, how the runners specifically have this.
How fucking recently did you watch Home Improvement?
They have big, I was thinking the same thing, man. How do you guys know this shit?
Watched it a lot, but holy shit.
It's called having a memory where you retain things you should not be retaining.
You can tell Steve didn't do drugs. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, while you guys were being cool and snorting crack with your teacher, Mr. I was watching Home Improvement and Zachary Taylor Thomas, all right? Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
But there was a character named Zach.
That was the older brother, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It was in a Treasure Island movie on Disney.
I was just going to say that the runners have really, really big, happy dog chasing a ball energy, and that's why I love them.
Because it's true.
Ball? And they all go running after the ball. Ball?
Yeah. What? Did you feel better about... Because there's some runners in this clicker mix this time as well. And I know last time you talked about how in the game, there's more of an element of the humanity inside the early infected showing through that maybe wasn't happening in the show as much. Did you reanalyze that at all, or those feelings?
No, I still think they're kind of mindless still. But I mean, these ones have been laying in that orgy for who knows how long. So I think we'll get that.
We'll have at least one moment of that. Yeah.
I think we'll have a moment when it's like a character. We actually establish who they are and if they turn and then see how they like freshly turn act. I think we can revisit that thought then.
Yeah. Because in the game, when you come across a newly infected thing, it's like, there's a horror to it. Like that they're experiencing like, you know, where they're kind of fighting it. And we haven't quite seen that yet. I agree. But yeah, this was a very cool scene where essentially Tess says, hey, I'm going to hang back because I'm going to fucking die in like an hour anyway. You guys get away. Joel is kind of forced to agree to this after her speech and the situation that he's got to leave anyway. So Tess pours some gas everywhere. There's a bunch of firefly supplies laying around, drops grenades everywhere. And as the cordyceps zombies are running in, is trying to light her lighter and it won't light.
I love how they all ignore her at first.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one's like,
kiss.
She clearly doesn't smoke a lot. It was annoying me because whenever your Zippo won't light, you have to close the lid and let it fill up with a little fluid, like the fumes a little bit to try. You know what I'm talking about, Andy? Mm-hmm. Like you don't just keep the lid open and flick close the shit out of it.
Shake it a bunch.
Yeah, but, do something. I mean, she's under duress. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get that thing to light, you got to know the tricks, lady.
It could just be a bad flint, though.
I know. You're done.
Yeah.
You're never going to have time to reload that flint.
For real.
Done.
She could have just pulled the pin in one of those grenades, but that's, duress.
Yeah.
But yeah, incredible scene. Eventually, the guy French kisses her with his fungus.
Oh, so fucked up. It was awesome, dude.
It was terrifying. That's where I said, like, I'm on board with these mouth tendrils now, because that was terrifying.
That was awesome. I didn't really like it.
Oh, you weren't scared and grossed out?
Oh, I was grossed out, sure, but also I Last episode, that was my fear. Like, I don't want these to be like some Cthulhu monster looking tentacles coming out of people's mouths. And like, that's like a hat on top of a hat to me. Yeah. Where you can just bite them. That's infected. Okay, we got it. And the fact that like he just slowly lumbers up to her and kisses her. There's like, there's a weird like, of course he's doing it to the one female character in the show. It was a little weird to me when I like the idea better of they're all ignoring her because they know she's infected and they don't want to eat her now because
like World
War
Z.
She's part of the team now. I like that a lot more than like,
that's what you thought was going on at first.
Hey, we're cool. We're friends now. Let me get in there. Let me put my tendrils up in your mouth.
Well, the idea is that guy's not thinking anything.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's the fungus and it's only, objective is to spread.
Sure. Right? But it's already spread.
And it's like orifice, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't know that though. Cause it hasn't grown yet. Right. Like it's in her blood, but
I thought it did know because like I said, they're all like ignoring her except for that one who's like, oh, we better double down on this.
Double infect.
I don't know if they had noticed her.
They're not too bright. It was the idea that I got. Mm. Now they are runners, so they're not blind.
Right.
So they should have been able to just look.
Clearly see her lighting a flint and failing.
But I mean, they were distracted maybe by Joel and Ellie. They're running away ahead.
Maybe.
My only thing actually of all that was like a good 30 of them should still be chasing Joel and Ellie. I guess they turned around.
She kind of shit the bed.
Like, I guess they turned around like, oh, we're making out? Hold up.
Oh, hold up.
Orgy's back on.
We're back on, boys.
Orgy's back on, guys.
I guess meat's back on the menu.
Who wants to turn off the lights and play the game? Let's feel our tendrils everywhere.
Who wants to lie down on the floor and roll around as one?
You don't have to raise your hand, Carl. We keep telling you that. It's a hypothetical we use to kick things off. Eventually, she gets the Zippo lit, and we see from Ellie and Joel's perspective outside as the museum, the state house, blows up. And that's the end of the episode, which brings us to our Fireflies, right? Our top three
Fireflies.
Favorite moments of the episode. Steve, what is your number three?
My number three is Ellie just being a kid in the hotel. Like that was a very hard, some of my favorite moments in the games is just when Ellie has those brief moments where she's just a kid and the world sucks. It's a horrible environment to be in. But even in the face of all that, she's still just a little kid and she's still doing kid shit. And just her kind of playing with the bell, like, excuse me, sir, I'd like some room service. Yeah. And then there's a frog playing the piano back there. There's ducks. This whole scene was like, hey, you know what? If you just put an R2-D2 in this scene, it'd be like just tailor made for Steve right there. Mm. Bing, bong, boom.
Bang, bong.
Yep. That's my number
three. You made it.
Oh, no.
Andy, you're number three.
My number three is the reveal of the clickers, and most specifically that around the corner shot with Joel, with the one holding the flashlight up in his face. It was terrifying. It was so good. I was afraid that it was going to be too much of a, it's just another zombie type of acting for it, but it felt like the game. And I actually, the more I think about it, the more I like the mouth tendrils and stuff because it makes them stand out even more from just like another zombie that happens to have some mushrooms growing on it. But yeah, zombies. Zombie reveal. Amazing.
My number three is essentially the hotel, but I narrowed it down a little more to Joel and Ellie talking. I think it's a really special moment that's important. Ultimately, this game is about those two characters having to rely on one another. They both fill something in the other one's life that they desperately miss, that they desperately need, and that they're afraid both that they'll never have again and that they will have and might lose it again. And so it's, they are the therapy dog for one another, you know, without knowing it. And you get to see them start to connect and play off one another in an intimate way because now, you know, Tess isn't around. So they're both being a little more vulnerable than normal. And I think it's a very special moment that works very well. And it indicates a lot of the stuff, the beats that we're going to get to come. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two Firefly is Tess and Joel interrogating Ellie in the very beginning. I love that because you get some of the interplay between Ellie and Joel, their little playful antagonism, like she's throwing the magazine at her.
Yeah.
She's eavesdropping on them while she's in the bathroom, which is, you know, indicative of what Ellie is as a character. But then you get to see a little bit more of what Tess and Joel are all about. He's a very much a hardlining survivor. And Tess is like, hey, you know what? Let's hear the kid out. You know, at least we can do this job and we get our batteries. Put your personal feelings about this whole endeavor aside. And then you get the sandwich stuff. It's all funny. And then, like I said earlier, the visual sort of metaphor of the two of them, like the light and the dark, was like really kind of a cool, like, I love it when, I know that's kind of on the nose, but I love it when cinema kind of visually uses the medium like that.
Yeah. Andy.
Good. My number two is basically the whole opening, Ibi Ratna and the mycology, her. I loved especially her sit down after she saw the spores and or the tendrils coming out of the mouth and stuff. Like, they give her a cup of tea and like her hand starts to shake and stuff. And she starts to cry. She has to set down the cup and saucer and basically says, you need to bomb the city. I need to go home and be with my family. Like, this is fucked.
Wait for the bomb.
It was incredible. It set the stakes so well. And, you know, oftentimes I think in zombie movies, if they try to establish a origin, it's done poorly, and usually they don't do it at all, and that's why. But I feel like this one, the ground was set perfectly in the first episode, and they carried through with it in this episode as well. It also felt a lot like Chernobyl, like with her like sitting in the lab and like looking at the – it almost looked like some of the same sets. It was really cool. I got big Craig Mazin vibes from this the opening. It's good stuff.
Yeah, when I heard, because Jimmy called me, he was on the show last week. Jimmy called me and said, I think they're going to talk about the origin of the fungus in today's episode. And I was like, oh no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it usually does go wrong, but they did it very well. My number two is the kiss. the fungus kiss. That whole scene, I think that Anna Torv obviously crushed it as Tess. And that's a very, very close to the way it goes down in the games and very different in other respects. But I was really happy with some of the changes. And while maybe it doesn't make sense for what I know about these cordyceps walkers, with the way, you know, how they function, with the fact that they didn't notice her and then it goes up to stick its tendrils in her mouth or whatever, just the sheer horror, you know, I thought of it from Tess's perspective. You know, the thing's disgusting. You don't want it anywhere near you, but then it's like on your mouth and it's like I'm assuming it's going down her throat and all around and punching holes in the roof of her mouth and all that. You know, it's just terrible going up her sinuses. Yep. And it did what it was supposed to do, whether or not it makes logical sense or not. It terrified me. It made me extremely uncomfortable. So that's why it's my number two. Steve, your number one favorite moment of The Last of Us episode two.
Hands down, it was the clicker encounter. I thought the tension in that scene was incredibly well done. The clickers look amazing. The actors that are in those suits, the way they're moving around is so unique to that type of character.
Yeah.
The type of zombie.
They got the herky jerky.
Even when they like fall on the ground, they still like kind of do it. And you know, Andy's already alluded to that shot where Joel's quietly trying to load his bullets and he looks around the corner and it's just right there and it doesn't realize he's in front of it. That's so creepy. And I'm literally looking forward to, like, in the future, if we have more clicker encounters, like the stuff you can do with that type of monster that can't hear you is so interesting. And there's a part where Joel and Ellie kind of regroup halfway through. And it reminded me of the raptor scene from Jurassic Park where they're like kind of hiding behind the counter trying to hide away. And I love how, was it Joel that stepped on glass?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Joel steps on glass and that thing is on them in a fucking second. Like it just leaps around the counter. It's already on them. And that it's so violent and scary, that type of monster. And I think they really crushed it in the scene. So that's my number one.
Yeah. Andy, you're number one.
My number one's the tendril kiss for a lot of the reasons that you said. It was fucking terrifying. And I understand, like, icky in some ways if you think about it in certain lights. And I get that. But as far as, like, establish a horror monster in a way that you've never seen before, and do it with a beloved franchise that means so much to so many fucking people. That it's a bold fucking change to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And for it to be that affecting and to get such a genuine horror chill out of it, sold me on the show in a way that I didn't realize I still needed. So yeah, good shit.
Awesome. My number one is also the clicker encounter. Again, like I said, I think the first time you encounter those creatures in the game, it's a landmark event in your life. and I think that this has high fidelity with people experiencing the show for the first time and as far as effectiveness. But that's the end of our Fireflies segment. Now it's time for Pills,
baby.
I was trying to tee you up because I know you'd love it, buddy.
I thought you were going to say the title, Bullets and Pills, and then, yeah. And then I would do it.
This time I want to do it with you.
But you just skipped it.
I want to do it with you. It's time for Bullets and
three,
Pills.
Two, one.
Pills, baby. I thought you were Man.
Sorry.
Maybe next
we're
episode.
We're all on the same page. We finish each other's sandwiches.
You can tell we've been doing this together for 5 years, can't you?
Yeah.
In sync, like Justin Timberlake
and Brooklyn Nine-Nine quote.
Lance Bass.
I can't remember. Finish probably. Yeah.
Let's go rapid fire around the room, starting with Steve and then to Andy, and we'll just name one. And if you have one left that hasn't been mentioned yet, knock it off until we run out.
Well, it's kind of funny when they're talking about, you know, oh, you hear stories about what happens beyond the wall. And I think Andy might have brought this up, the infected that throw spores at you. Mm. And that's obviously an allusion to the enemy type bloater in the game. And I thought that was just kind of funny that they talk about how it's throwing spores and they're like, this sounds fucking stupid.
I wonder if they're not going to use bloaters in the show. Is that what this means?
There are definitely bloaters in the show because in the trailer there's a bloater. But I don't think it'll be throwing spores at
people.
Spore
grenades.
So that might be the thing with like throwing spores. What fucking bullshit is that? There's no spores.
Yet.
That's good.
They throw tendrils. Just like balls of spaghetti tendrils at people.
Well, it's weird because like the early ones will kiss you and then like the bloaters will eat your ass. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I couldn't even say it.
Oh shit!
I don't hate this.
All right, my turn. Joel helping Tess over the rubble, giving her the leg up.
Yeah,
dead on. Like the you know it's you're you have
you a do that 1,000 times in the game.
Yeah, so it was exactly the way he did it in the game.
The entire hotel lobby.
Yep.
Is the scariest part of the first game, in my opinion. I think it's in the basement of the hotel lobby where you have to start the generator and the two bloaters run in or the bloater runs in. Mm-hmm. Hated that so much. Hated it.
Oh, when you said the lobby, I thought you were talking about like Ellie going and hitting the room service.
All of that. But I just meant also that level of the game is iconic, you know, but yeah, they go into a hotel in the game. She does the whole sequence where she dings the bell and pretends to be a guest, all that stuff.
Can't swim.
I think Joel looks at the coffee machine longingly in that scene as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
God damn, I miss coffee.
Black.
There's a lot of scenes that happen almost shot for shot, or at least a shot in a scene that's directly lifted from the game. But the scene when Ellie and Joel are kind of on the rooftop and they're looking at the Capitol building, that's directly lifted from the game. That's a shot that's there. And that's actually something like that all Naughty Dog games do.
The L3 thing where they look?
So even Uncharted games do this where if there's a level and you're going to end up at a building, you can always see that thing off in the distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this whole episode, they could see the golden dome of the Capitol building off in the distance, no matter where you are in the level. Like I think they even see it when the two buildings are leaning against each other. And that's something that you do in the games. Like you will see the two buildings leaning each other, but often the great distance is the Yellow Dome building.
Yeah.
You get through those two buildings. Oh, the Yellow Dome building is closer now. And that's something that Naughty Dog games are really good about, is just being able to kind of, you could see where you're going to go at all times. And I like that they kind of kept that in the show as well.
How great of a distance would you say the dome is, you think?
At least a 10-minute walk.
Maybe like a mile or something.
Yeah.
My last one is just kind of a cheat. when Joel gets separated from everybody and he sees the iconic shot that I was talking about before, when he turns around the other corner, he gets back up with Ellie. The way that they crouch with him with the gun up and her right behind him is plucked straight out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it'll change sometimes throughout the game, and it's so organic the way that it's done, where like sometimes she'll be like kind of undercover, like in front of you, and sometimes she'll be right behind you, and it just looked fucking perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can switch shoulders too.
Yeah.
Which I never did. I'm sure it's handy, but I never did that. The plank, mm-hmm. like several times in the game, it's a mechanic where you have to conveniently set a plank between two buildings or between two pedestals or whatever. And there's always one laying nearby. You got to go pick it up and find the right spot for it. And the fact that the plank was there made me giggle. Just a little nod to the only way to traverse in The Last of Us world. Steve.
I don't know if this counts, but like just the whole Ellie bringing up the mall that she
I wrote sneaking that down to too.
That would be condemned. I'm not sure if that counts. But the other one, I don't know if it counts, but just the fact that they're in that museum, the Boston Freedom Museum,
yep.
that's a whole big level in the game is taking place in there. And it's kind of neat that they still have like all the glass cases with like the old flintlocks yes. and shit on display they use that as the clicker and counter mm-hmm. in the show is really neat.
The State House too is almost mm-hmm. identical to the way it looks in the game.
Yeah, let's get that
done. I wanted to talk to you guys too. I have a few more because I wrote down literally everything, but I think I have three more. But in the State House, when Tess dies in the game, she's fighting humans, right? Hunters? Fedra?
I thought it was Fedra. I don't know. I can't remember.
They're definitely not zombies. They're humans, right?
Because she fights humans, but that brings zombies to them.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'll stay back. And you hear her shooting her gun and them shooting back and shit.
She gets shot and killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. That's what I thought I remembered. Another one I have is the glass. In the game, it's actually pretty advanced for 2013. Mm-hmm. Like if you walk over like crunchy glass on the floor, it'll alert a clicker to your presence or later a creepy dude. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was super cool that they did that. I think it's intentional. Mm-hmm.
I do like how he steps on the glass and the camera's like, huh?
Yeah.
Glass. Yeah. Andy, do you have any more?
This is sort of cheating, but the electric tape that he used.
Oh yeah.
To 100% Cyberfoot. Okay.
Cause you got to find tape a bunch in the game. Mm-hmm. If you got scissors and some tape, you'll have a much longer lasting melee weapon.
I need cloth and some tape and then I heal myself.
Exactly.
I got
pull bit, my backpack.
I got bit in the leg, but I'll wrap it around my forearm. Yeah. And, you know, Joel's forearm is the only thing that ever gets hurt in those games. Chris, you said you had a couple more.
You said the view, cause the L3 view thing was what I was thinking. Oh, the crouch. You said the Jurassic Park thing. Mm-hmm. That's the move in the game. You gotta crouch and then Ellie will run up real quick and crouch behind you.
Yeah, that's what Andy was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, as a game thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I thought it was only mentioned.
I'm begging you to listen to the show.
I'm begging you. Well, I think it's funny in the games. It's one of the only like really clunky things in those games. It's like when you get spotted or almost spotted, like ooh, you run real quick to hiding. Mm-hmm. Whoever you're with, like your dud partner, will still be right in the middle of eyesight of nine hunters, like acting like they're sneaking to get with you. And then they kneel behind you and it's like, yeah, we're dead. They know you're here.
I think you
should go somewhere else, actually.
There's some really funny clips where like Joel's like hiding behind a table and there's a clicker like right in front of him. And Ellie's just like runs directly past the clicker to get next to you. It's really funny.
It reminds me of way back in the day on Nintendo 64 when you played GoldenEye. Do you remember that game?
Oh, do I remember GoldenEye? Of course.
But the AI was so bad. Yeah. Natalia. Like my dad was in his 50s trying to play that with me and he would always angrily shoot her and stuff like she's stupid. And I'm like, Dad, look at the graphics though. It's 3D. Calm down.
We'll never get better graphics than this.
Of course she can, right? For real. Of course she doesn't know how to open a door. That's crazy, Dad.
Dude, escort missions in games were the worst for fucking ever.
Yes.
And then finally somebody was like, just make them invincible.
Yeah.
And like that's fixed everything.
But still frustrating. Come on. That's a wall.
My last pills, baby. I don't know if this even counts, but I like the idea of it possibly counting. So when he throws her the magazine in the beginning, didn't Ellie collect comic books.
Yeah. She does.
So I don't know if that's like kind of a nod to that or not, but
maybe
I like to think
there
that
was something
is,
in there. Like you saw a page, but I didn't get to focus on it.
I couldn't focus.
I'm sure it'll be on Reddit and it's already there.
I'd be like, oh, this confirms the flower plot.
Oh, this is actually an Easter egg for Quantumania.
Ant-Man's
here's why. Here's my 300 page dissertation. That brings us to our outbreak performance, our favorite performance of the episode. Steve, lay it on us, buddy.
Before I tell you what my outbreak performance of the week is, I want to give a little shout out to
my boy Ray Ray back home.
Back home on the ones and twos.
Mike and the boys.
No, I want to give a shout out to an honorable mention for Christine Hakim, who played the doctor at the very beginning. What was her name?
Ibu Ratna.
Ibu Ratna.
She's incredible. I almost gave her my outbreak performance.
Yeah, I almost did too. I really considered it.
That scene Andy was talking about with the T is when I wrote her name down. I was like, oh my God.
But there were a lot of, there were two really, really great, and well, everyone's performing wonderfully, but I was really impressed with Christine Hakim, but then also Anna Torv, I think, really did a great job in this episode too. Like the way-
As Tess.
The way you can kind of see her kind of, you know, she's bartering with Joel the whole time, but then when she realizes that she doesn't have, she's been bitten, that you know, and she's like, Joel, what? Please do this for me. I've never asked you for anything. You can just see, and then when she snaps out, I'm like, this isn't my fucking home. Like, oh man, like that's a really powerful line delivery. So I'm gonna give it to Anna Torv.
I think I'm pretty confident we all gave it to Anna Torv. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. That's all, Andy.
For all those reasons.
Talking very animatedly about how good her performance was earlier.
Well, so that changed my mind. I'm giving it to Christine Hakim.
Woo! Anna Torv crushed it. That was all the emotional weight that it needed to be. Andy, is there anything else you want to say about Anna or the show in general, this episode?
I love Anna. I love the show. And I love you.
Anna, love you. Get it?
Aww.
Thank you all for tuning in. I'm so happy Andy was here. We're all back together again. We Bear Bears, which is a cartoon my son watches. I don't know why I said that. There's three of them. Maybe that's what I meant.
Maybe. Three little bears. That's us.
Tune in next week. Speaking of three, for our coverage of The Last of Us episode 3. I don't think we know the title yet, or at least I don't. Again, email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can DM me on Instagram at @moviesaretherapy. You can follow us on Twitter at @streamthingpod. We love you all very much. We hope you enjoyed that very much. Steve, you got anything you want to say in parting?
Yeah. Stay tuned. Wednesday is the finale for our Harry Potter marathon. We cover Deathly Hallows Part 2. And then Mad Max Fury Road won the bonus episode poll for patrons. If you would like to hear us review Mad Max Fury Road, become a patron at patreon.com/streamingthings. We will also be releasing a video for our patrons where we play Cards Against Potter, which is like Cards Against Humanity, but Harry Potter themed, in celebration of the Harry Potter marathon closing.
Wildly inappropriate.
Super inappropriate. But it was a fun time.
It was.
Yeah.
And then we hit cake. And we got cordyceps. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things, The Last of Us. This month, we got some new patrons to thank. We are so thankful, so grateful to all of you who throw your hard-earned monies our way.
Money.
We got the new Try Before You Deny producers, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez and Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. That is actually their Christian name.
I can't imagine does that fit on a library card?
Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. Yes, because in a Barbie Car is put as a last name. So
okay, what's the middle initial? I thought N was the middle initial.
No, you're right.
I thought it was like Rabbit Dog N.
I don't think in that part of the world wherein Rabbit Dog hails, there is a middle name.
They're on Mountain Time.
Yeah, yes, for sure. In the Marty B VIP producers category, we've added Node KS, Charlie Friday. That's not real. It might be. That's awesome. You were named after a secret agent, and I love it. Heather Joe, Sheila Huff. I'm so sorry in advance. I'm going to try my best. Niamh McDyer and Micah Tybee.
I was reading that one before.
Ethan Gregory.
I got that one.
Casey McNatt, Nicole Herring, and Daisy JT. And in the chocolate pudding producers, we've added Meddler on the Roof. Love it. Lane Crawford, Christiana Saya, Blaze King, Ellie Montiranta, Randy F, Carrie Gerard, Tyler Sowers, Cadet, Alyssa Anderson, Sabra Watkins, Jade Spade Marmalade, and Naris Martinez.
And in the Friends Don't Lie producers, we've added Mike and Sheila. And I, again, apologize to anyone whose name I did not pronounce correctly. I did my best. My heart was in it.
I feel like you
Mike's going to be like, it's McKay.
It could be. It could be. Thank you all so much. We love you.
Boing.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.